Welcome to the Business Case for Women's Sports, where we explore every corner of the women's sports industry, from the field to the front office. I'm Caroline Fitzgerald, and I'm here to prove that it's good business to be in the business of women's sports. Our guest today is Maggie and Tim, a FIFA USSF soccer agent and the CEO and founder of Trinity 3 Agency. Maggie has spent half a decade successfully navigating partnership deals for sports, entertainment, and tech companies. As one of the first African-American female soccer agents in the U.S., she's on a mission to recruit more female agents and continues to advocate for more women and men of color in sports and in soccer. Welcome to the show, Maggie.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to do a little bit of setup for this conversation. So, as you know, the goal of this podcast is to prove that it's good business to invest in women's sports. So for the sake of this conversation, we're here to show that it's good business to invest in women's soccer or football, I guess, depending on where you live in the world. It's not only good business, it's also the right thing to do in terms of gender equality. So Maggie, you are an expert in sports business through the lens of an agent. You are the first agent that we've had on this podcast, and agents, of course, are a huge part of the sports industry. In your role, you market and promote your athletes, you negotiate their contracts with brands and teams, you handle endorsement deals, public relations, and serve as an advocate for your clients at every turn. It's truly important work, and it's especially important for female athletes who have to fight harder for their piece of the sports industry pie. So with all of that being said, can you talk a little bit about your general approach to representing clients and working with your athletes in the sports world?
Absolutely. Like you pretty much said, I like to say I'm more than an agent, honestly, because it's not just negotiating the contracts on the field, but it's negotiating contracts off the field. It's making sure that everything is set up right, whether they want to start a business or they want to participate in something else off the field. It's my job to make sure that that is going smooth. And so it's just extremely important. And being able to represent both male and female athletes is a blessing. I tend to find myself going extra hard for the women, being a woman myself, and just really understand how we have to work twice as hard. And especially in the sport of women's soccer, it's something that we see it every day from whether it's sports media that's really covering women's soccer, just women's sports in general, or even just the sponsorships that are even allocated to women's sports and specifically women's soccer. So it's my job to go above and beyond and do what I can for not just the sport as a whole, but also for my, you know, my girls, my clients.
Absolutely. And the women's sports world and the women's soccer world is lucky to have you coming in.
And
doing this work. So Maggie, 2020 and now 2021, this has been a really big couple of months and year for you. This is the year that you, like you said, set out to take on more in the women's soccer world and bring on more female players as clients and partners. So back in November, you signed your first female footballer, Samantha Johnson, who came out of retirement. And you worked together to get her signed with Melbourne City FC, which is the number one team in the Australian W League. And more recently, you signed Sydney Schneider, who represented Jamaica in the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup and was just drafted by the Washington Spirit. So those are just a couple highlights, but you're really, really doing amazing work. So can you talk a little bit about the transition from representing mostly male athletes to now taking on female athletes and why you're setting out to do more work in the women's soccer world?
Yeah, absolutely. So with Samantha, it's interesting. We signed with Melbourne City in November and spent months and months of just building. And, you know, we were introduced to a mutual friend. And so it was like, okay, is she going to come out of retirement? Is this going to work? And it was like a lot of back and forth, like, okay, you know, I really want to see you play. You were one of my favorites and I just would love to see you play. And she's like, no, Maggie, I'm not doing this. And I'm like, okay, trust me, with me, you'll come out of retirement. So we went through all of that process, finally got her signed and onboarded with the agency. And then a couple of months in, it was like, hey, did you want to go back and play with NWSL? That wasn't her thing. She said, I'll play outside of America. I said, okay, if there's one country that you know, you'd be interested in, would it be Australia, being that you had history playing there already and you won the league there as well? And so she said, yeah. But we both kind of looked at it as, if she were going to go, which team would it be? And it was obviously Melbourne City. That's the top. And if we're going to go into it, let's go with the best. You know, that was my job, to reach out and connect and talk to these guys about bringing in someone like Sam. I myself am still shocked to this day that that even happened how it did. And God is amazing for that, of course, because, you know, being a new agent and going into it and, you know, having the relationships that I have, but when it comes to those different markets, you know, not really knowing many people, but I was just so, so thankful and grateful for just the Melbourne City staff, but the city football group as a whole, for their support and just really embracing me, especially, you know, being a female agent. It's not easy at all. When the deal happened, we were so excited. And then, of course, with the NWSL draft, you know, that was like a whole nother excitement for me, to have worked with a couple of players prior to the draft and to see these girls get drafted and their dreams came true. It was just a blessing for me, because I felt like these women took a chance on me, you know, and especially when you're new to something, you just never know how it's going to go. And it was just exciting because it was my first draft, and having these women get drafted and dreams coming true and being able to sign contracts with their new teams, like, it's just amazing.
Not kidding. The 2021 NWSL draft was truly an incredible night for women's soccer. I'm just going to talk a little bit on the data side of it, and then I want to dig into what actually happened that night a little bit more. But on the data side, that draft generated a ton of excitement for women's soccer. Almost 40,000 people streamed in live to watch it on Twitch. And to date, 1.1 million people have watched the recording on Twitch. It generated over 600,000 impressions on Twitter, over 200,000 impressions on Instagram. So again, it was a historic night, but the draft isn't going to go down in history because of the impressions or engagement rates that it generated. It's going to be celebrated forever because it was this glass-shattering night for women of color in soccer. Mm-hmm. And in the first round of the draft, 7 of the 10 women drafted were women of color. 6 Black women and 1 Latina woman went in the first round. And Maggie, for you, you closed out your first draft as one of the first Black female agents to represent players in the NWSL. So what a night. And I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about it.
You took the words right out of my mouth, right? That it was just glass shattering. It was historic. You know, obviously the first round, having players go in the first round, but watching that at first and just noticing, right? And anyone that follows me on Twitter knows I'm very vocal. And so I'm watching this and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm calculating already how many. And then I tweet and I'm like, wait, is this for real? And then I say, okay, at the time, I think it was like 4 Black women. And I'm like, whoa, that's already historic, but let alone like the first, second, third, and fourth players that were drafted were Black. So I was like, okay, that's 3. Then they went back in 4, 5, 6. And I was like, whoa, I don't think this has ever happened. And I'm a person, like, as an agent, you have to know your stuff. And I've studied the NWSL draft over the last 9 years, and it was just so historic. I was just like, wow, that's just the first round. And then, of course, in total, to have over, 12 women of color get drafted, sure, was just amazing. Someone like Sydney Schneider, she's biracial, so she also counts as a woman of color as well. But also for someone like Sydney, she was the first female to be drafted from UNC Wilmington. And she was the first goalkeeper to be drafted in this draft for that night. And then also the first from her school to be drafted. It was just one for the books that I can't even tell you how excited I am for 2022. Because I'm like, look, if 2021 was something like this, imagine what 2022 brings. And like I said, it was just amazing. And then, of course, you know, being an agent, you know, it's my first draft, and being the first African-American agent and also being the first with NWSL draft was huge. It even made me start to look more into, like, how many of these girls really do even have female agents? Because if you calculate, sure, that percentage is so small. It's so small. And I think even now we're starting to see that. There was a point in time where on the USA women's national team, none of those women were represented by females. Only recently, Crystal Dunn left her former agent to hire a female agent. Huh. And so we're starting to see a shift, but there's still a lot more work to be done. And so that's, for me, it's just an honor like I said before, that my girls have chosen me and trusted in me to manage, you know, their careers, and I couldn't be any more excited.
Absolutely. And talking a little bit more about how important it is, or how important it can be for female athletes to be represented by female agents, that is something that we haven't seen a lot of across the sports industry. And I just give so much credit to female agents really battling through a very male-dominated industry. But it's such important work. The relationship a female athlete has with their agent is a very, very, very important one. That is your voice in the industry, your advocate. And to have an agent that truly understands the female experience, to me, it feels essential.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's so important. I can't emphasize it enough that as a woman, and you know this already from what we go through on a daily basis, you know, within the world, but in sports, and in a sport such as soccer, where there's just so many things, from gender equality to the pay, right? The salaries that these women make. And imagine fighting for that. Your advocate is a woman who can, you know, relate totally to what you're going through. And it's like, it just means so much more. And I'm a huge advocate for more women in sports and more women sports agents. I want to see more within women's soccer. I want to see more within women's sports, period. You know, for me, it's a mission of mine to continue to push for more women to be able to represent these women, because they need it. They need it.
Absolutely. And what you said about women fighting for all of those things, female agents are also fighting those same battles. So to really have a partner that you're in it together with, that fully understands everything that you're up against and is also working towards the same goals, and we'll say goals on the Goals podcast, it's important. I'm looking forward to seeing more women like you, Maggie, move that needle and break through in the sports industry.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much. And honestly, it's something that we need to do together.
Maggie, you've been doing this for a long time. So I'm curious to hear what your vision is for the future of women's soccer and the women's soccer industry.
With women's soccer, my vision is obviously to recruit more women in the sport, not just from the playing side, once again, but to the front office side, from the league office to working in leadership positions, whether that's sporting directors, scouts, coaches, GMs, owners, or, you know, more agents, more sports attorneys, because we need that for sure. And then also any way I can assist on the investment side, from the financial investment into the sport. So whether that's working with more brands to be able to sponsor not just the athletes, the players in it, but the teams, the leagues, you know, saying, hey, you need to invest in NWSL, you need to invest in UWS, you need to invest in FAWSL and all of these other women leagues, because it's important. And the data is there, like you said. The fact that it's only 4% of sports media, for women's sports media, that gets covered, that's terrible. And it's even more terrible that it's only, what, 0.1% of sponsorship that goes into women's sports. That's 0.1. That's not even a whole point. It's not even 5%, not even 3%. So when I hear those numbers, I'm like, this is crazy. This is crazy to me. And the sponsorship industry is a $60 billion industry. So you can't tell me that. And out of that amount, the highest sponsorship usually goes towards sports, but it's just not on the women's side. So that's something that needs to change. And that's part of my long-term vision, that that 0.1% will one day turn into 50%. It'll one day turn into 70%. It'll one day turn into 100% of sports sponsorships dollars are allocated for women's sports. And that way it's divided amongst women's hockey league, it's divided against women's soccer leagues, it's divided against the WNBA. And it's just something that will change. And I do believe, and I have faith that it will happen, but it's going to take some work and it's going to take some time. But as long as these amazing women continue to do what they do all the time on the field, and we just show how united we are when we come together, whether it's for the Challenge Cup and we're watching it, or we're streaming it on TV, or we're streaming it on Twitch, or if it's just going out and purchasing the orange WNBA hoodies to show our support for women, I think by then the brands will start to wake up and see. It shouldn't have to take for another World Cup for the USA to win before brands start to get the message, or shouldn't have to take for certain players to be so vocal to say, hey, I deserve to have a brand sponsorship such as my counterpart. It shouldn't have to take for a male player or athlete, whether he's an MLS or plays in the Premier League, to say, hey, you should sponsor the women, because the women are doing it. You know, we're doing it. And so that's all a part of my vision, to change that, to just change the narrative, change what we see. And it's going to take some time, but it's something that I'm willing to do. And I'm looking forward to the journey. And I'm on the journey currently, and so I'm looking forward to it.
You sure are, Maggie. And you're battling for those dollars to take that 0.1% or whatever sad number it is right now of sponsorship dollars that are in women's sports. And you're doing it with your female athletes and trying to sign new sponsorships and partnership deals for your clients. So I would love to have you in my corner if I was a professional athlete, because I know that you would have my back and you would be able to close those deals and, quite frankly, get me paid for my work and my labor.
Yeah, listen, we have to do it. Have to do it at some point, some way. It's got to be done. And that's the beauty of it. It's more than a dollar amount for me. It's really about, like I said before, the influence that you have and the impact that you're making. Because at the end of the day, the goal is about building a legacy on and off the field. Your lifespan of playing the sport, especially soccer, is not that long. But you want people to remember you, not just for the work you've done on the field. So it's not just about, oh, okay, I had X amount of saves or I had X amount of goals. But it's about, man, this person was able to align what they were doing off the field with what they're doing on the field. And that's why I always tell Sam, with what she's been doing, you know, off the field, I said, look, there's a lot of girls that look up to you and they want to be like you. And you're giving them hope because you're showing them the amount of hard work that you put in every day to go out there on the field and play. And that's major for someone like Sydney to have other goalkeepers or just soccer players in general from UNC Wilmington to say, wow, Sydney did that. Sydney got drafted. And she gave us hope now that it is possible for us to do the same thing. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. The quote, if you can see it, you can be it, comes to mind. And the impact of female athletes extends far beyond the pitch or the playing field.
I tell them all the time, I'm constantly knocking down doors and shattering the glass, because I know that there's just so many more women that want to be in the space, and they may not even know where to start. And so for me, it's constantly shattering the glass so that there's others that can come in, and it's not, and they don't have to deal with the challenges or things that I had to deal with, but they can come in and represent their women or male athletes and really do an amazing job.
Everybody, put your shoes on. There is glass everywhere because of wonderful agents and people like Maggie and Tim. Maggie, I have one last question for you, and it's a question we ask all of our guests that come on the show. If you had to summarize in a few sentences why you believe it's good business to be in the women's sports business, what would that reason be?
We run the world. Nothing gets done without women. And just the evolution of women's sports and how it has changed over the years. We are phenomenal. We're resilient. We're strong. We're fighters. We're warriors. And we're game changers and trendsetters. And the future of women's sports is going to be one that we're not only living in it now, and we've seen a lot of changes, but in the years to come, it's going to be even better, where women's sports is just going to be on top. And if you're not involved with it now, it's time to get involved before it's too late.
I could not agree more. That is a perfect answer, Maggie. That is the end of our show. Thank you so much, Maggie, for coming on the podcast. And really, thank you for everything that you do and have done for women's soccer and for women's sports. You're an amazing person, really doing tremendous work. And the women's sports industry is truly lucky to have you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Once again, thank you, Caroline, for this platform, for all that you're doing. And like I've told you before, you have a lifetime supporter here. And if there's anything that I can do to help, you know, I'm just a phone call away.
Thank you for listening to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports. Leave us a review, check out the show notes, and be sure to follow Goals on Twitter and Instagram for the most up-to-date content on the women's sports industry. And remember, it's simply good business to be in the business of women's sports.